You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
Would you like to create financial stability, longevity, and prosperity in your life? I am Atiba Thompson, and welcome to Becoming Financially Fit for Life, a program that will help individuals avoid financial hardships. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Call me now at 877-932-9766 to become financially fit for life.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Becoming Financially Fit for Life. And I am Atiba, and this is radio the way it should be heard. Today, we have a special guest in the studio with us, John Parms of John Parms & Company. He is a managing partner of this firm with over 35 years of extensive experience in diversified auditing, accounting, and advisory services. He has a thorough knowledge of accounting and auditing procedures for private and public sector clients. He is also responsible for leading their firm's efforts and providing technical assistance to small business clients. TalkTainmentRadio.com, financially fit for life fans out there, let's say a big hello to John Parms. How are you today, sir?
Real good, Atiba. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you so much for being a guest on our show, sharing your expertise. So tell us a little bit more about you, John. I mean, tell me what you do and what does the CPA do?
Well, I'm not sure how far back you want me to go, but certainly I've been in business, like you said, since about 1980, and I am a CPA, and CPA is a professional designation, and our firm is a CPA firm, so we're basically a firm of accountants and CPAs, and we provide a variety of services to individuals and small businesses and other entities like exempt organizations, colleges, and universities. So we are a full-service firm providing auditing, accounting, certainly tax consulting, and other advisory services to our clients.
Well, let's talk about some of those services that you provide. Like, and I looked on your website, and once again, what is your website, John?
It's www.parms.com.
Okay, when I looked on your website, I was taking a look at some of the services you provided, and it said forensic accounting. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. That's one of the specialized areas that we specialized area that we provide services in. And my one of my partners, Ted Johnson, runs that part of our practice. Forensic means either legal or something relating to the court jurisdiction. And so what we do there is assist the court or parties to a legal action, usually in understanding certain financial matters. So because we're CPAs, that's really the area of concentration that we're going to be involved in. I'll give an example. There may be a divorce case, and the court will appoint a financial expert to determine the assets of the couple so that they can split those assets correctly. Or there may be a legal case, maybe a either fraud case, or it could be a civil case or a criminal case where there are financial matters involved. And in order for the court to make a proper decision, they need to have good information about the financial information. So the forensic accountant would be involved in providing the court that information.
Well, that sounds much more extensive than a regular accounting service, I would have to say. It seems like you go into greater detail and really looking at the individual's situation.
Sure. Oh, yes. It depends on what we do. I mean, we as CPAs, we provide a wide range of services to our clients. And the services, and that's what CPAs do. I mean, we're really more than just accountants in many cases. The way I defined it is we're in the information business. So sure. We provide information across a broad spectrum.
Well, I mean, tell me a little bit about more about the services at Parms & Company. Mm-hmm. Besides the forensic accounting, I mean, mm-hmm. what are some other services that you guys provide there?
Sure. We have a firm size of about 14. I have two other partners, Ted Johnson, who's our tax partner, and Timothy Grant, who's an audit partner. And we have about seven CPAs in our firm, in addition to other accountants and support staff. And so a large part of what we do is to assist small businesses with their accounting and tax needs, their other business advisory needs as well. Mm-hmm. Having the extensive background that we have in working with small businesses and other entities, we believe we have excellent information about, you know, how you might want to run your business or other aspects about running your business. So we help our small business clients not only in providing their, you know, accounting and information, staying compliant with the various tax laws, but also helping them make good business decisions. They may have a question about a matter, you know, purchase, lease, whether they should buy something or lease it, as an example. So we provide them a full range of services. We also do a lot of auditing.
Okay.
And generally, auditing is where we, in accordance with certain standards that are promulgated or set up by our profession, will audit or examine the financial statements of other entities for the purposes of saying, hey, we did this audit, and we can, what we call, render an opinion. We can say certain things about those financial statements based upon following appropriate standards and procedures relating to an audit. So that's another area. We also provide other, what we call, financial statement related services, a review and a compilation. So those are other financial statement services that we provide. Go ahead.
Well, no. It sounds like you do a lot of work with small businesses or just mm-hmm. businesses in general. Mm-hmm. What does it take really to start a business?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I'm not sure I know what it all takes to start a business, but I think I have some idea of some of the challenges in getting started and some of the things that you might want to do before you start a business.
Okay.
And so, you know, business is really a complicated organization, and there are many things that you have to know and many things you have to do. So my first advice to any individual who's thinking about going into business is to make sure you know something about that potential business. The worst thing that you can do, that individual can do, is to say, hey, I have this great idea, and just because I have this idea, I'm going to start this business. Well, I mean, that's a normal, you know, thought process, but you really need to have some basis, some background, some understanding, I think, in terms of before you start a business. Many times, an individual will, you know, work in a specific industry first, gain a lot of experience, mm-hmm. before they decide to actually go out on their own. You know, during that time they were working for that other organization, that business, because they gain knowledge, they get experience, exposure, they may come up with a good idea. And so I think in that respect, I think it's a good idea to, you may have a good idea and you have an understanding of the business and what you're getting ready to get into. You have certain resources, or you have, and when I say resources, I mean not necessarily in terms of dollars, but certainly in terms of information. You know the industry, you know the players. Right. Those things are valuable in terms of helping you succeed. So the first thing that I say is make sure you understand something about that business, or you understand business itself. And
right.
you've run a business, or you know someone who has, or you work for someone who has run a business. So you really need to have a good background, a certain level of understanding before you go out and start and try to start a business.
So in other words, a good plan.
Well, a plan is part of it. I mean, a plan is just a set of ideas, a set of strategies that you want to incorporate as part of your plan for starting and operating this a business. But I guess what I'm talking about is even more basic, but more important than a plan. It's really having the wherewithal, having the knowledge base, and having the ability to put all the various things that you're going to need to be able to do together as part of your plan or your strategy to run a business. If you don't have that understanding, it's going to be very hard to come up with a plan.
Sure. And you know, on this model, we are on this show, basically, our motto is a vision without a plan is just a hallucination, but sure. a vision with a plan is innovation. Mm-hmm. So basically what we're stating is, you know, a lot of individuals have vision of being business owners and things like that. They don't mm-hmm. necessarily have the plan to be successful. Now, if I do have a vision and I do have a plan, what are the different type of legal entities mm-hmm. I can get involved in or I can be a part of?
Sure. And certainly, I think that's one of the first things I think business owners think about when they start their business. You know, if they don't know about these matters, they will certainly find out in talking with maybe legal or accounting people. But there are a number of entities. One is obviously a sole practitioner, and that's just being an individual running a business, and that is a form of actually running a business. But there are also separate entities where you are segregating your business activities from a legal standpoint from your personal activities. And there you have a number of options. If you have more than one individual who's going to be an owner, a partnership, there's also a relatively, it's not relatively new, but it's becoming much more popular. It's called an LLC, a legal liability corporation or a legal liability entity. And that's a separate entity which provides great flexibility in terms of how a business is going to run. Then there's the normal corporation, and then there's some variations between that. Now, as an LLC, again, which is a legal entity under a specific state's legal requirements, you can practice as a separate entity, and you could be, you know, you can either be an individual, be taxed as an individual, but you're still a separate entity. As a, you know, as a partnership, if you have more than one member. As a, what we call an S corporation, a small corporation, or a regular C corporation. So you have those various individual partnership as an LLC, and then you're taxed at a variety of areas, or a regular C corporation.
What would you recommend? I mean, to a first time business owner, it just all depends on if he has partners or whatnot. Are there different type of tax benefits to starting an LLC versus an S corp or C corp?
There are a number of differences. Some of them will relate to taxes. Some of them relate to just limiting your liability. Usually, most companies will set up a separate entity under an LLC or corporation because that helps protect their personal assets. If you operate as a partnership or as an individual, in most cases or many cases, I'll say, if something goes wrong with that business, then it could attach to you personally. Mm-hmm. Under a corporation or LLC, then what you do in a business stays within that business. And right. So that legal liability stays at that level and will not pass to, if it's properly structured and operated, will not pass to you individually. Now, from a tax standpoint, it gets to be much more complicated in sure. terms of the advantages. There's more simplicity usually in just being a sole practitioner. And so it's basically because you're one and the same, you only have one tax return, for instance, your personal okay. return. If you're an LLC operating as an S corp or C corp or even a partnership, is you have to file another tax return because that entity is separate. It has to file a tax return, and then the individual has to file a tax return. So what we're talking about is fairly complicated. Can be complicated.
Sure.
There's no pat answer. You really need to. You know, maybe talk to an accountant or an attorney when you get ready to do that, so that they can talk about more specifically about your particular situation and how what form might be better for you. I think the important thing for your listeners this afternoon to understand is that there is a fairly complicated form of structure. You have a lot of flexibility, a lot of variety in terms of what you could or choices in terms of what you can operate under. And usually one may be better than the other as it relates to your particular situation. For small businesses first getting started, when there's not a legal issue generally, I always advise to just be a sole proprietor.
Now, on a sole proprietor, though, isn't that if I have an issue with my company, they can come and get me individually, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. You don't have that separate entity that will protect your corporate or your personal assets. But sure. I'm just saying most businesses are not really in a situation where there's a high probability of legal problems. And that's not necessarily to say that if you start as a sole practitioner, you will stay a sole practitioner or, mm-hmm. you know, for the duration of your business. You can right. always, you know, move over to a different structure. The reason why I would always consider sole practitioner first is because it's less cost. There's less complexity. And generally, that's what you want when you first get into business.
Okay, okay. See, I was under the understanding that typically you want to, you know, kind of separate your personal from your business. Because nowadays, I know you said it's not likely for for individuals to start a business and have legal issues. But in this economy, people are just looking for a reason to make money.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that you would necessarily want to always be a sole practitioner, but everything being equal and balanced, I would say that you want to, again, reduce the complexity, the cost of getting into business. I believe that's always an important objective. And, you know, many times your structure in your business doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be have a separate entity. I'm not advising one way or the other. I'm just saying that those are considerations in terms of what you might want to do.
And that is very true, because typically when you're starting a business, you want to try it, you know, start as cheap as possible. So like you said, that is the right way to go,
conserve your resources
for an individual starting to do a business. Now, you were telling me, once I get a business entity and whatnot, and say, for instance, I want to hire individuals, how does that really work? Can I just go out and hire a person and just pay them, you know, whatever? Or do I have to pay taxes on that money as an individual? I mean, how does that really work?
Yeah, as a business. Yeah, I mean, as your business grows, you're going to need individuals to help you do what you do as a business.
Sure.
Certainly. And so, you know, many times small business owners who may not have a lot of experience will say, well, I'll just go find someone and pay them as an independent, what we call an independent contractor, as a non-employee.
Right.
And that can be very hazardous. That can be very, very dangerous in terms of doing that. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But certainly there are many laws, there are many labor laws and many tax laws relating to employee-employer relations. And so most taxing authorities, IRS, State of Ohio, City of Columbus, County, they will want you to correctly classify that relationship, that possible employee-employer relationship. So when you hire individuals to work for you, if they are, in fact, an employee, the worst thing you can do is to treat them, to not take out taxes, not treat them as an employee, to treat them as a contractor, where you're just paying them at the end of the year. You just give them what's called a 1099 and say, I paid you this total amount of money, versus treating them as an employee, where you have a responsibility to withhold taxes and remit those taxes to the various taxing authorities. And the reason why you can get into difficulty is, in fact, if you treat an employee as an independent contractor and you don't withhold those taxes and remit them, then the taxing authorities, like the IRS, the State of Ohio, can come back against the company and charge them for those taxes that they didn't withhold, plus penalty and interest. In other words, if you're supposed to treat this person as an employee and you didn't do so, then whatever tax you should have withheld from that person and paid to the taxing authorities, they can come against you for those taxes, plus penalty, plus interest.
Wow. And how do you distinguish the two, employee versus contractor?
Well, it can be a complicated matter, but it's a fairly simple matter in terms of the realities that you're dealing with. If you're hiring someone, they're coming to work, and you tell them what to do generally and how to do it, and you give them the resources to do it, they're an employee. Now, that's a very simplistic answer in terms of defining them. The IRS has like a 26-item checklist, but many times it's not that complicated.
Okay.
I would always advise someone that when they're getting ready to have a relationship and they're uncertain about it, to check with someone, because the cost of doing it incorrectly, if you're going to treat that person as an independent contractor, can be very high. Obviously, if someone is a independent contractor, they're going to be some telltale signs, and you're not going to worry about it. But anytime you have someone you're paying, most likely they're going to be a employee.
For instance, I have a couple guys I know. I mean, I own a mortgage company or run a mortgage company, and I have other individuals that have mortgage companies, and they hire contract processors. But it seems as though they could be employees too. So they're not really using their resources because they're kind of doing this on their own. But at the same time, they're being treated as an employee because they have requirements and things like that.
Right. So, well, again, that's why I'm saying it can be fairly complicated. Certainly, I think in that situation, again, if you're uncertain about something, if you're not going to check with professionals who can give you advice, or if you're not going to check with the IRS or the taxing authority and say, what does define this relationship for me, then the safest way to do it is to treat that relationship as an employee-employer relationship.
And when it comes to taxes, could you just, I mean, I know we want them to talk to you individually because everybody is different, mm-hmm. but what type of percentage am I going to have to pay to an employee?
Well, it just varies. There are many, and one of the things we probably want to talk about a little bit in some depth is the issues of taxation within our country and when you open a business, when you start a business, because they are substantial. They're complicated. So it's not a very easy answer. There are various rates. You have Social Security, you have city taxes, you have state taxes, you have federal tax, income taxes, you have other employer taxes. So there's a lot to really understand and to know. That's why accountants are in high demand.
You know what? We're going to talk more about that. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, Educating the Liberate on Conversate in the AM. Stay right there. More with John Parms of John Parms & Company talking about taxation on startup businesses up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. This is a minimally invasive procedure. It is radiation-free, may destroy prostate cancer cells, and potentially has few side effects. This investigational procedure is performed at no cost to the patient. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com. Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
My name is Ruth Rusey. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Atiba on Becoming Financially Fit for Life. You may join in on the conversation by calling 877-932-9766. We have a special guest in the studio with us, John Parms of Parms & Company here in Columbus, Ohio. He's a CPA, and he's been educating us about some of the legal entities of starting a business and just some of the things that a CPA does and his firm does as well. But we're going to jump right back into it and ask John, tell me a little bit about the taxation on small businesses or startup businesses. How does that really work?
Sure. Well, you know, what I tell small business owners when I first meet them, new clients, potential clients, is that one of the biggest challenges of running a small business is understanding the complexity of the various taxes that they will have to pay. And there are, you know, many areas or levels of taxation. You know, we can talk about a little bit about each one of them. You have income taxes, you have employee, employer, or employer taxation taxes, and there may be other taxes like sales taxes. Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit about the employer taxes, because sure. I think that many times when businesses start up, they'll need individuals to help them, and There are a whole list of taxes and responsibilities that small business owner will have as it relates to that employee-employer relationship. So you have these employees, and what you have to do is, first of all, withhold the taxes, income tax amounts that that individual is going to be responsible for. All of us who work, we know that if we work, we don't get the total amount that we earn.
Right.
Because there are amounts that are withheld on behalf of the taxing agency. So you have to have a system to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that responsibility. But there are also employer taxes on that for that employee, one being Social Security. Mm-hmm. FICA is another word for it, Medicare, FICA. And in that case, that's actually a cost to the employer because they have to match the Social Security, which is 7.65. So you withhold 7.65 from the employee salary, but you also have to match that with 7.65. So that's the actual cost to that employer of 7.65 of that employee's wages. So many Wow. times that's why you have small businesses trying to avoid that by bringing people on as what we call independent contractors and not employees. And so Right. that's the area where you're having difficulty. There are also other employer taxes like unemployment tax, like workers' compensation tax in the state of Ohio. We have to pay that to a state agency. And those rates are going to vary depending upon a number of factors. I'm talking about here the workers' comp. Usually it's a risk factor mm-hmm. in terms of the rate that you pay. A high organization that's in a more risky from a standpoint of injury is going to have a higher rate. So if you have someone who works in construction, they're going to pay a much higher rate on that employee than, say, if you have someone who's working in the office.
Really?
Really.
Wow. Okay.
And it could be a very drastic difference in terms of rates as well. So, sure. So you're going to have, just saying how much will I have to pay in terms of taxes for an employee is very difficult because sure. there are many factors. Then you have unemployment taxes, both federal and state unemployment taxes. Again, those rates, and I can't remember the state, but it's approximately, it depends. It goes to a certain level of compensation. Usually, I think it's $9,000. This is not an area I spend a lot of time in, even
sure,
though I need to know. I have tax people in my office to handle most of this. But you also have a federal rate as well, mm-hmm. which I think is 6.2% on the first $8,000 or $9,000.
Wow.
So, again, you have a multitude of taxes as yes. it relates to that relationship, both costing you in terms of both out-of-pocket costs, but also in compliance costs. What I mean by compliance costs is that you have to do the right thing, withhold those taxes, remit them to the taxing authorities, file returns to tell them what actually happened. So there are just a number of things that you have to do. So anytime you get into business and you're going to have employees, then your costs are going to go up and your administrative requirements are going to go up. So, you know, your listeners need to understand that going into business is a very serious business in terms of the various things that you have to do. Right. And one of the major areas will be taxation. That's employer taxes. Then
right.
you have income taxes.
Okay.
Which relate to how much money you make on that business. And so in the state of Ohio, each state is different, but in the state of Ohio, obviously we have federal income tax. So,
right.
You have to pay taxes on the income that you make. Mm-hmm. Then you also have in Ohio now something called the CAT tax. Hmm. In the state of Ohio, and for some reason that acronym escapes me.
Okay, no, it's fine.
But there's actually a word for that, CAT.
Uh-huh.
And that's based upon the total revenues. So each revenue dollar of revenue, you have to pay taxes to the state of Ohio.
Oh, my gosh.
On just your revenue, not your income now.
Right.
Now, there's a million-dollar exclusion, but I think there's a minimum amount you have to pay, which is $150. So any business over $1 million has to pay this tax on their gross receipts, not their income in that case. And then you have obviously city taxes that you have to pay, which is in City of Columbus 2.75%.
Wow.
So you have in America we have a lot of advantages, but we also have a lot of responsibilities too as it relates to taxation. So anytime you're in business, the first thing that should cross your mind is, wow, I'm going to have a certain level of tax compliance and tax cost that I'm going to have to assume as part of operating this business.
Oh my gosh, we have another business owner on the phone actually as well. Erwin Cartwright, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Akiva.
Good.
Boy, do I have a bunch of
questions for Mr. Tarm regarding his statement, you know, some of the statements that he made as far as, because I know a lot of companies, what they do is subcontract, like he was saying, but you, like he said, you're heading toward a brick wall if you go that route, but it's easier just to pay the taxes. Is that primarily what you were saying, Mr. Parnes?
I would say that it's the smarter thing to do. I mean, you may achieve a short-term reduction in costs, but you really increase your long-term risk at a much higher cost, a possible higher cost. So I'm saying that you want to make sure you classify each relationship correctly. There are some things that you can legally do to maybe structure a relationship where it might be a proper contractual relationship, but sometimes it's not always easy. And if you don't have that experience or expertise, then you can mess it up. But certainly, sometimes it's very hard to get around a true employee-employer relationship. And so if you have that relationship, you want to make sure you do the proper thing right from the start.
And then one other, you know, like in most small businesses, all of the taxes that you just mentioned, I think that a lot of small businesses don't have a full understanding with how taxes affect your cost and what you're going to charge you for this product or service, that you have to include all of that, because if not, would you say that a lot of business would fail if they don't include that as their overhead? Would that be where we go?
I mean, that's very important. I would broaden that thought in that they need to understand all of their costs, and taxes are just one of them. But a good business has to really understand what they're doing, what their cost structure is, what their requirements are in terms of compliance, because not only do you have to understand that tax requirement, you're going to have to have a system in effect or in place to be able to manage that requirement. And that's cost in itself as well. So you have the tax, actual tax, but you also have the management of that issue, as well as other issues that are going to have some inherent cost to them. And not knowing that, you can misunderstand where you are from a cost structure. So Erwin, you said a couple of important things. You directed it toward taxes, but it really covers a broad spectrum of your operation. And so, yes, most certainly.
And one other, when you're developing, like from small business, would you say that before they would even consider, you know, start their business, that to incorporate like their startup cost, do you help them eat? Because a lot of times people, when they're developing businesses, they know that what they want to do, but they don't figure in the cost of what it takes to even open up the doors. Do you help agencies develop their, what is called your startup capital?
Well, certainly, you said a number of things there, but the first thing I think, the underlying message I think you're saying is that, you know, even before you get into business, you really need to have some sense of what you're up against in terms of the various things you have to do and their related costs. So most certainly, and many times that can be very challenging. That can be very daunting of an activity, because there's so many factors, there's so many variables that you have to consider. And that's why initially my comment was, when someone gets ready to go into business, having some background in that business, having some knowledge of, you know, that business or something closely related to it is invaluable, just as an example, just because of what you just said, just so that they understand all the factors. They can talk to an accountant. An accountant may not know the business that they're getting into, but they can certainly help them go through the numbers. But if that small business owner doesn't have that basic knowledge, there's going to be a disconnect. There could be a disconnect there. So that's why I'm saying, you can't replace the business owner's knowledge base, even if they have professionals to help them. Having a good understanding about what they're going to do is so vital.
Okay, and then do your, like, CPA firm, do they come in and then they set that board for your organization? Agency like yours would come in and set up a financial structure for that business? Is that what a CPA does for people that don't have that financial structure for their business?
Well, we certainly can, and we certainly have the background and experience to do so, and that's what we like to do. But the hard reality is, you know, professional services are not inexpensive. There's a cost there as well. And so, again, when small businesses, one of the things that you always experience, not always, but many times when people start a business, the thing that they don't have a lot of is money, a capital. And so, you know, hiring people like us and attorneys at the very outset is helpful and good, but you have to manage that relationship as well because it's very costly. So just being able to really bring all the ingredients together, all the components together in a way that's going to allow you with your limited budget to do all the things you need to do is in itself a real challenge. And so, you know, people think that just going into business is a very, you know, it's a noble thing to do. It's, you know, it has for many people a certain level of appeal, but the reality is that it's really challenging as well. So I'm not saying that to discourage your listeners. I'm saying that so that people understand that when they go into business, it is a complicated and serious matter, and they have to have their ducks in a row. So the things that we're talking about this afternoon hopefully will give a prospective business owner some understanding that they just can't, they need to spend some time in thinking about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And wherever they can, where they can afford, wherever they can manage to get some counsel in that process, always can be, my view is always helpful.
Okay, I just wanted to know if you got your questions answered.
Yeah.
Tell me a little.
That was it.
Tell me, I want to know more or less, how do we get startup capital? How do we work with the bank?
Okay,
that's what I really want to know. I mean, once we become a business owner and we have everything ready, what do we do when we go to a bank?
Very good question. First thing is that I wouldn't waste my time going to a bank.
Okay.
When I first start a business.
Okay.
Because banks, many people don't understand this, but it's very difficult to get a loan from a bank as a startup company. Certainly it happens, but generally it's going to happen if that person has the wherewithal to guarantee that bank that they can pay them back. And so starting a business is very hard to do that. So in some cases you may have a well-to-do relative who's going to sign on the bottom line for you and say, well, if this person can't pay this loan back, I will pay it back for you. But short of that, I would not waste my time trying to get a loan, a traditional business loan from a bank in a startup position unless I have substantial resources to protect that bank's interests. So most people who start a business, my experience anyway, they don't always have that level of resources, because if they did, they wouldn't need to go to the bank, would they?
Right.
So
right.
You know, those people who are looking to go to the bank are in need of what they think is the amount of money that they need to start their business. So, I mean, I was listening to a very intelligent and important, I will say important and successful individual who's an ex-professor at Ohio State University talk about going into business. And he has extensive experience in working with successful businesses that started out from the very ground up. One of the things he said I thought was very interesting is that the biggest reason that small businesses fail is because they have too much capital. And I kind of went back and said, I don't know if I believe that or not.
Right.
But I'll talk about that in a minute. But getting back to, and the reason, there's a reason for me saying that, but getting back to really starting your business, you are going to need a certain level of resources. You're going to need cash, money to do that. But if you don't have that, if you're not able to get that by yourself or through people that you know, close relatives, then it's going to be difficult. You're not going to get that at the bank unless you go, maybe you get a credit card and you can use that credit card maybe. I wouldn't advise that. But to get a traditional bank loan will be very difficult for a startup.
Wow, this is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. We go where you go. Check us out on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1. And also on your smartphone or tablet. Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com for the podcasts and blogs. Listen live and participate by calling 877-932-9766. Stay right there. More with John Parms telling us how too much capital can make our business fail. Up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for the presence of radon. It's easy. To learn more, call 866-730-GREEN. Preserve your family's health and well-being. Get your home tested. Now that's living healthy and green. For radon is easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
A message from the US EPA.
Drop School Day students, community. High 7 the classroom, 1,000 America attendance. Quit variety, they have reasons. Job like to get. Baby raise, relative help and elderly. Happening local on, it's a level. Catastrophe, it's a national.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. It doesn't make sense to us either. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I'm a champion. Realize Shaq's mechanism. Yah, 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 yah. Yah, yah, yah.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. Stack their desks one atop the other, and it's a pile more than 17,000 feet high. Go to boostup.org and learn how you can help. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Atiba on Becoming Financially Fit for Life. You may join in on the conversation by calling 877-932-9766. If you're just joining in on the conversation, we are talking to John Parms of Parms & Company. He is a managing partner and a CPA, giving us some expertise on how to start businesses and run them successfully, understanding taxation. So if you just missed or you're just joining in, you can always go to TalkTainmentRadio.com and look up Financially Fit for Life, and you can take a listen to what you've missed prior to listening now. But we're going to jump right back into it. John, you were saying that the biggest reason small businesses fail is because that they have too much capital, and I thought it was because of poor accounting. Mm-hmm. So tell me why you said that.
Sure. I'm going to refine your statement a little bit.
Okay.
I didn't say that. I said a respectful and knowledgeable professor, ex-professor at the Ohio State University said that.
Oh, okay.
But certainly I think that the reason why I brought that up certainly is to let people know that a couple of things. One, you do have to have a certain level of capital to start a business. You have to have resources. You just can't go out and start doing things necessarily. Generally, you're going to have some level of resources. The question is, how much do you really need? Mm-hmm. And the other question is, how are you going to get it? And so we already discussed the fact that it's going to be very difficult to go to a bank. I mean, you're wasting your time and the bank's time going into the door saying, hey, I have this great idea and I need some money to make it happen. The bank's not going to do that because you're too high of a risk. We can talk a little bit more about that part in a minute, what it takes to get a loan. But the other part is that you need to have capital resources. One of the things that I find is many times, not always, but sometimes you find businesses that get started, they're started by business owners who are doing the business part-time because they are spending the other time supplementing their income so they can have some money to live on.
Right.
And so, you know, I believe it's better to put your toe into the business than it is to jump in feet first. In other words, you want to inch into a business. Some businesses you can't do that, but some businesses you can. And you look around, you know, Cheryl's Cookies as an example. If you read her background, how she got into business, that's pretty much how she did it. She didn't have a lot of capital. She had she put in a lot of sweat equity, which we all are able to do. Mm-hmm. And so she did it on a small basis. She was able. There's some reason for doing that, and some very important reasons for doing that, and that gets me back to too much capital. Many times when people have a lot of money, they just throw money at an idea, mm-hmm. and they haven't had enough time to really develop concepts, business concepts that are going to work. And so they may have some money in this great idea, and they go out and they do this idea, and it flops because of a number of reasons. One, because their idea might be good, but it needs to be refined. And so by just going out there at a level that's higher than your ability to support it is going to doom your failure. It's going to make you fail because you're bound to make mistakes. And starting a business, you're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You're going to make more mistakes when you first start off, and hopefully mm-hmm. less mistakes as you mature and learn and grow.
Right.
And so understanding that, you need to understand that, hey, I need to build my expertise, my understanding of my market, my understanding of the business environment, my competitors. So in many cases, that question about having too much capital comes from that concept, is that you really want to start a business generally by inching into it as much as you can and then learning and then growing from there. And so if your listeners want to do some investigation about some of the even locally here in Columbus, how those businesses got successful. Mm-hmm. I think in many cases, you're going to find an element of that. Sure. That many times they borrowed money when they needed some level of capital from relatives. Many times they started very small and they were able to develop their expertise and understanding of the business. And that's really a better way of going into business.
So it's not just having a lot of capital.
It's not having a lot. Even if you have a lot of capital, many times you're going to misuse that capital because you're not going to know how to best use it. So having a smaller amount of capital and having to really use your brain and really strategize and really think and really go through trial and error is really a valuable process in getting into business and making your business a success.
Wow. Irwin, how does that sound to you? Have you heard that before?
Well, I think that Don Perns is absolutely right, because I've seen a lot of businesses over the years that people had extensive capital and, like you said, a great idea. But did you align yourself with the manufacturers or the companies or even within your community? Did you align yourself with all the key elements that it would take to make your business successful? Or did you just go in there with an idea and start your business before you made your alliances? So I do understand that concept and see it quite a bit in small businesses. And yes, you should get out there and pound the pavement, learn your business, and learn everything about your business and build on that idea. And then once you get to a point where you know everything about your concept or your idea, that then you invest small amounts of money towards it and then build upon your idea, not on the amount of money that you have.
And I would agree as well. The thing about it, though, is capital is very, very important. But how important is your network of professionals when starting a business?
Well, it's very important. And I would extend that a little bit. Your network of knowledgeable people. Mm-hmm. Some of those could be trained professionals like CPAs, attorneys, whatever. But there's also a lot of resources in terms of understanding how to run business. And so your competitors can be some of the best sources of information if they're willing to share that with you. But one of the things we also wanted to talk about briefly is about how you get a bank loan. If you're in business and you've established a certain level of credibility, and there are some good reasons for getting a working capital loan, you want to make sure there's some real basic criteria that you really need to have. Banks make loans on three C's: credit, cash flow. I shouldn't say credit.
Capability and collateral.
No, character, cash flow, and collateral. Okay,
that's very similar to the mortgage industry. It's credibility, capability, collateral, and you say character.
Yeah,
exactly.
Character is the most important in my mind. When you're talking to a banker, that's the first thing they're going to really key in on. And that word character can be extended as well in terms of knowing who you are and having a sense of confidence in who you are. Cash flow, you have to be able to prove to the banker that if they give you that money, you have the potential resources coming in, cash coming in to pay that loan back. And then collateral. Collateral is the last position, and that is if things go bad, things go south, what can they go against to mm-hmm. pay them off? So those are the three important things I think your listeners need to. I don't know how much time we have to talk about that, but they need to spend some time understanding those. And the one that I really want to just say a few things about is character. In terms of, part of that is your credit history. If you go into business with a personal credit problem, in other words, you haven't taken care of your affairs, that's just going to ruin your opportunity in the business because it's just going to compound itself. So you need to, if your listeners can't, if they get anything from this discussion this afternoon about starting a business, they want to make sure that they take care of their personal credit, that they pay their bills on time, that they're accountable, that people can rely on them. So that's very, very important. I wanted to bring that up, Tito.
Well, thank you so much. And just for individuals out there who do have credit challenges, you could always give me a call. We do credit restoration at ubfine.com at Ubiquitous Financial. So you can always check us out right there. I mean, what else, John? We truly, truly appreciate you sharing your expertise with us. How do people get in contact with you?
Certainly. Well, again, we're on the web, www.parms.com. Our phone number is 614-224-3078. Our address is 585 South Front Street, Columbus, Ohio, 43215. And so certainly you can give us a phone call. That's probably the best way to contact us, and certainly we'd be glad to sit down and talk to you about your professional needs.
Now, I know you said the banks are looking at the three C's, and once you have those in line, then what happens? How does that process work?
Well, certainly, I think that's the underlying aspects of getting a loan. There are many more practical things that you have to do, like having information, good information, and having a reasonable plan. You know, I've been in business for 30 years. I've never seen a worthwhile business owner not get financed. That's what banks are in the business to do. They're in the business to loan money. The problem many times is that prospective borrower just doesn't understand what they need to do. They don't have their game plan in a form or fashion that's going to impress that banker. So if anyone is in business and they have a real bankable need, they really need to understand what a bankable need is. And I don't know if we have enough time to talk about that.
Sure.
But if they have a bankable need, what I call a bankable need, I can, 9 times out of 10, there are enough resources in our country and with SBA assistance, with a number of incentive plans, the state of Ohio has programs that they can get money. If you have a good idea, you have a good business, having access to capital is not a problem that we have in this country.
Really? Okay, so tell us, I mean, how can we avoid the pitfalls of starting a business? How can we become a successful business owner? That was the original question. So I want to go back and kind of have you recap on just some of the fundamentals from a CPA standpoint, because like I said, I've always heard that most businesses fail because of poor accounting, not managing their books correctly. And like you said, they can also fail because of having too much capital. So what can you kind of tell our listeners out there?
Well, what I will say is you said accounting, and that's why they failed. I will broaden that. The reason why businesses don't succeed, in my opinion, is because of a lack of good management. And that's a management is a broad concept, a broad term. It covers a number of important and essential issues about how well you know your business, how well you conduct your business, how disciplined you are, if you have a plan, if you have good information, and accountants provide that, help you get that information. Information, again, is a key element. I was told a number of years ago, knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. Knowledge, in my mind, also relates to dollar signs. So you have to be good at what you do. You have to be smart. That smartness really is a accumulation of knowledge. It's not necessarily saying that you have a high IQ.
Right.
No, it's that you understand things and you apply yourself and you take those concepts and you apply them. And so anyone can be successful, in my mind, in running a business. But it's a daunting undertaking. You have to have your ducks in a row. You have to have knowledge. You have to have advice. You have to have counsel. And you have to take care of business. So management is the key word, and which encompasses a number of issues that are too broad for us to cover all this afternoon.
Wow, thank you so much. Erwin, do you have any closing remarks or statements or questions? Erwin?
Huh? Oh.
Do you have any statements or questions for John?
Oh, no, I just want to tell John, I think he did an excellent job in getting the information on how to start a business and some of the pitfalls that a lot of small businesses incur. And I think that this was very informational today. Great show, Akiva.
Well, we truly appreciate you calling in, asking the questions. I mean, it's just individuals like you that are looking for the knowledge that can share it among the other people out there. And I know you do a lot with the kids, so just sharing that with them will also help our economy get back on track. Once again, John, how can the listeners get in contact with you?
Certainly. My phone number is area code 614-224-3078. Our web address is www.parms.com. That's P-A-R-M-S. And certainly those two forms will be sufficient for them to get in touch with us.
Well, John, we truly, truly appreciate you, just educating our listeners on how to become an effective business owner through accounting and things like that. Definitely, listeners out there, please get in contact with John. Look up Parms and Company. What's the email address or the website again, John?
www.parms.com.
Perfect, perfect. And if you need some assistance, we were talking about credit. Once again, if you need some assistance with credit, mortgage financing, or anything, you can always call me at 614-578-1623. If you're looking to protect your family through financial hardships, through life insurance and health insurance, you can also call or look up ubfine.com. And annuities is a great way to avoid the volatility in the market. So definitely call us on that. Once again, that's Atiba, A-T-I-B-A, at ubfine.com, Y-O-U-B-E-F. INE.com. And also you can reach me at 614-578-1623. John, let's have some closing remarks and once again your contact info.
That's 614-224-3078. I really enjoyed this opportunity. Maybe we can do it again sometime and maybe gear in on something specific that your callers may have a question about.
I definitely look forward to doing that. I look forward to sitting down with you as well to make sure that my finances are in order.
Look forward to it.
And making sure that I'm paying those payroll taxes and things of the sort like you mentioned before, because so many of us just really don't have the fundamentals. We have that vision and that plan, which will create innovation, but at the same time, we don't always have the fundamentals to make us successful. So we truly, truly appreciate you sharing your knowledge and your 30 years of service to Columbus, Ohio. It's just an honor having you on the show. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com. This is the world's greatest radio. This is radio the way it should be heard.
Creating financial growth. I am Atiba. Thanks for joining me. This is Becoming Financially Fit for Life on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS
98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.